Everything that we need is in that creation. I mentioned it in the prayer. Everything as human beings, it's all there. It's been there from the beginning. I always thought that. Then I read it and I thought, oh, that's good. I was right. You like to be right, don't you? But it's true. God created everything we could possibly want for all the ages, all the different mankind. And then he rested. And I thought about this day, this Sunday, falling between Christmas Day and New Year, when we celebrate afresh. And I thought, it really is like a Sabbath rest. And I think it's good for us to spend a little time reflecting on what we have been doing. We've done a bit of that already. And just thinking about this time, this day that we've got, to just come aside and reflect. And I thought, well, we're all different. We all have different ways. I've spoken of some of our traditions with my family. But, you know, we won't all have been engaged with family and friends. And, you know, there'll be some, maybe some here today, who've spent that time alone. And I thought about this because, you know, I think I've only ever spent one Christmas day alone, and that was because the snow was so deep it prevented travel. But you see, the phone was there. It wasn't isolated. It could ring people up, talk to the family and friends, and it was okay. I got through that day very nicely. But for some people, there's nothing else. They're just alone and no one to keep in touch with them. And you know, when we can't visit somebody, then a phone call is very welcome to someone on their own. And we, this Christmas time, we've made sure that we've kept in touch with other people. So I want us now to just think about other people. The people known to you who've perhaps been lonely, people who've been ill, you know, awful things happen. I got my son-in-law to listen to the news this morning. He said, has there been a tragedy? Anything that I need to know about before I go? There was nothing fresh, but there's lots of things going on in the world, isn't there, where people are in great need. And so we need to think about those, and those close to us, those neighbours, those people on our front line, time to think about them and what they need. So I'll just start off, and I've got a prayer here that's been published by Open Doors and UCB. And Open Doors, the prayer for today is concerned with people in Iran. And it says, in recent years, there have been increased numbers of raids on house church meetings and arrests of believers over the Christmas period. Ask the Lord to protect all the house church meetings that will be held to celebrate the birth of Jesus. So those are people we need to think about and pray about. And then also to pray for our neighbours. On Friday, it's Neighbour Friday. I didn't know that before, but it's Neighbour Friday. So pray for our neighbours who are lonely. Those who feel that the TV is their main source of company. And we pray that churches, congregations like ours will identify with people who are lonely. We need to know how to help sometimes. And recently, John's been talking about, the Lord's been speaking to him about people who are lonely. And I saw a program before we went away about this, and I thought, well, they're not doing anything. But as I listened, there are different ways that we can help people who are lonely. And after these festivities, I'm going to get together with John, just share some of those ideas with him, and maybe some of us can do something about those people. People need to know how to get help. And we need to know how to befriend somebody whether it's from our local church or somebody else who just lives alone. So those are one or two of the things that we can pray about. So I just invite you to pray. Just pray silently where you are. Or just call out a name or a sentence. Just share with us people who need our prayers at this time. Thank you. Through Advent. And if you think I've got a very good memory, I made some notes at the time. So there was Paul's service on the 30th of November, the beginning from Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. I've read them to you already, but I'm going to read them again because they're so worthy of reading again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. It really struck me sort of afresh when I read those words as Paul was reading them, and God said, "Let there be light." And it was mentioned there were no stars or moon or sun. So it was God himself. And the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to reveal the glory of God as seen in the face of Jesus Christ." And Paul goes on to explain that we who believe possess this precious treasure, the light of the gospel. And because we ourselves are just ordinary, frail human beings, people know that this is from God and not from ourselves. So if we are shining out God's message to people, it's not from us, but it's God who's put it there and put his light into our hearts. The light in Genesis, as I said, is God himself. He is light. In him can be no darkness. You know, when we live in darkness, which can be unbelief or sin of any kind, we separate ourselves from God. And you will hear people say, "God's left me, God's not here," but God's there. It's they themselves who've cut off the power, if you like, from God through their own lives, through their sin, and through unbelief. And I thought about the pain that Jesus suffered on the cross. You know, it becomes clearer now. It was the darkness of sin, my sin, your sin, all sin, which separated Jesus from his Father. And the baby of Christmas came to show us the way to the Father so that we might live in the light of life. Looking at light in the past, Dorothy shared with us the words of Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 5. And some of those words said, "Shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Jesus is the light." And he is the one who was foretold all those years before by Isaiah. And Derek spoke about light in the present. And he spoke from John's Gospel. And I read these verses to you. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Just going back to verse 4 again. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Without light, there's no life, and we need both to live the lives that Jesus wants us to live. And Derek, speaking of the light that shines within, challenged us with these words. Are you a light on the hill? Do you feel you are one? And if not, why not? And in all that busyness I've spoken about, have you given time to thinking about this challenge? How do you feel about it now? Now, keep that in mind as we continue. I wasn't here last Sunday, but I was with you in spirit, and I know Paul was to speak on light in the future, and he read to you from Revelation 21, 22 to 26. I said if you started earlier, you'd have found me there, because the beryl stone was the eighth row in the foundation. But these are the words. And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to give light to it, for the glory of God illuminates it, and the Lamb is its lamp. So looking back, we've remembered light in the beginning, light in the past, light in the present, and light in the future. Those were the chosen themes for Advent. Sorry, I think I've lost something here. Obviously not. So, what would I choose to talk about after Christmas Day? Well, I had a book of 30 daily readings from Mission Aviation Fellowship. And I just glanced through and I saw one that attracted me. Was written by Tony Horsfall, and he's in charge of pastoral care in the Africa region of MAF, of Mission Aviation Fellowship. And he wrote, as a young preacher, I gave one of my first talks in a local Methodist chapel. And in the pulpit, positioned to catch the eye of the preacher, was a small brass plaque with these words, Sir, we would see Jesus. Got a little plaque here, but it tells me the time. Sir, not madam, not in those days. It would be a man always preaching. Sir, we would see Jesus. And in 40 years of preaching, that man never forgot that little plaque. And I thought about those words, and what came to me was, have you seen Jesus? That's my question today. Have you seen Jesus? Have I seen Jesus? When and where in all those things we've been talking about, in the services, in the parties, in all the things that we had to do? Where was he in all those activities? Was he in the Christmas card? Was it a sort of medieval picture of Mary and Joseph and a fat baby in the cradle? Was it a card with three wise men touring and following the star? Was it the special food that we eat at Christmas? Was it the decorating of the tree? Jesus said, John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. Only a time, because they changed and killed John. Let's think about John. He was a man sent from God with a specific mission to prepare the way for the Messiah. He was in the mould of the Old Testament prophets. And his ministry attracted a great following. It was fiery and focused on repentance. But it was wonderful. People came and they repented and were baptized, many of them. But John never lost sight of the fact that he was not the Christ. You could imagine when people were coming to him and flocking to him, he could have thought, I'm important, I'm special, but no. He said, he must become greater, I must become less. He was a wonderful witness to the truth that came with Jesus. And every follower of Jesus is called to be a witness, and like John, to shine brightly in the world. But there's a cost. There's a cost to shining, because the kind of light that Jesus refers to here is either a candle or likely an oil lamp. Either way, the light only shines because something burns and is consumed in the process. And it reminds us that if we are to have a good testimony, we will have to die to self, particularly to selfish ambition or the desire to be noticed, in order to point away from ourselves to Jesus. Last week, on our Christmas Eve, before the family went back to Edinburgh, so we must have a photograph of all of us, and we hadn't got the camera with the timer on, so they said, we'll have to do a selfie. And they look at me thinking, I don't know what they mean, but I do. Not that far behind. So we all sat on a sofa, and Alison had her camera in front, and then we all had to get close. And there were the most ugly faces you've ever seen, because they were pulling faces at the camera, attracting people to look at them, the very opposite of what's needed from us. But we took the photograph. We've got that record of being together, a selfie. But, you know, our aim is not to draw attention to ourselves, but to help people to see Jesus. And wherever Jesus has placed us, our calling is to be like John, a lamp that shines brightly. It doesn't matter who we are, what our gifts are, what our duties are, we all have that same calling, that our light might shine and show Jesus to other people. Jesus also said, don't light a lamp and hide it away. Put it on a stand so it gives light all around. And some of us can be the opposite to that. I don't think it's me, but those who really hide away and too shy to speak. You know, if you're too shy, ask God to deal with it, because honestly, I used to be terribly shy, and one day it had gone. It's a great asset to be able to stand up in front of people without your cheeks going rosy red. But it's all to attract other people to the light of Jesus. So, have you seen Jesus during Advent, the build-up to Christmas, and the celebration of the birth of Jesus? Said he is the light. Have you seen the light? And come to a new understanding of who Jesus is and what he has done for you. Or I long for that in each one of us, that we might come to a greater understanding of who he is and what he's done for us. We say sometimes, oh, I've seen the light. Or somebody's explaining something to you and they say, oh, you've seen the light, you know, you've understood. But this light is so much greater, bigger than that light of our understanding. And yet it's that light that builds up our understanding of wonderful things about Jesus. John was the lamp, and that is what Jesus wants us to be. But he himself will empower us. So we're the lamp, but he is the light. But we've got to be the ones to show that light to other people. So coming back to that challenge which Derek gave us, you know, if you can now say yes, that you are the light, that you do want to be shining on that hill, Are you prepared to be that light, to shine for him? Your aim will be to help others to see Jesus, either in the word, which you share with them, or that light that shines from within and people see something there of Jesus. I remember my daughter's mother-in-law saying, "I want what she's got." All that other woman has said was, "All I want to do is serve Jesus." But that, at that point, Barbara accepted Jesus as her saviour. It was as simple as that. She saw something that nobody else saw. It was there for her, a light shining, and she accepted Jesus, and her life changed from then on. Is that what you want to be? Someone who can shine for Jesus and shine for other people. So, we're going to sing a song in a few minutes. So I'll let you find it, and then we can be ready. And it's number 58, so we're in the blue book. And it's "Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning." Now, Lila's quite relieved because she was going to have to come out and teach you this song. And she said, "How many verses? How many are there?" She said, "Four." I said, "We'll see how they go with two and add more if necessary." But she doesn't have to do that now. It's a lovely song. It's something that we learned in the guide company. But we won't sing it just yet, Kathy. We'll wait a minute because I want you to think about this challenge. And if you really do want to be that light, maybe not in your own, not in your own strength at all, but trusting that God will give you the strength, I want you to come out and collect a light. And then as we sing, you can just hold it up, because that's the light that you want to be demonstrated in the little light. So you can put your book down, and if you'd like to come out. Now, if you're not ready to do that, then use this time just to sit quietly and pray, and ask that God will encourage you or show you what he wants you to do. It might not be the time today, but if it is, then come out and collect a lamp.